Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last."
Let us pray. Generous God, it's by your grace that we are where we are in relationship with you through Christ, in the work of your kingdom. Speak words of grace and generosity here to us again, so that we will do our part that you called us to, faithfully working in your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. About 5 years ago, Dan Price, who's the head of a credit card processing company in Seattle, made headlines. He slashed his own $1 million pay package and established a $70,000 minimum salary for all the employees in his company. And as you can imagine, lots of folks on the staff were excited to hear this news, but not everybody was excited about the decision. Two of his most valued employees quit, partly because they thought it was unfair to double the pay of some new hires and give only modest raises to folks who had worked there for a much longer time. One of those people, a financial manager named Maisie McMaster, had consistently put in long hours at the company. Though she was first swept up in the excitement of this change in the pay package, as she started to look at the numbers more closely, she got less enthusiastic and more concerned. She said, "He gave raises to people who have the least skills and are the least equipped to do the job, and the ones who were taking on the most didn't get much of a bump." She thought it would be more fair to give smaller increases and then further raises as time went on and folks got more experience with the company. You hear that story and it sounds like a contemporary version of this parable we've heard from Jesus in our scripture passage from Matthew. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who, at the first sign of daylight, got up and got in his truck and drove into town to a parking lot where some day laborers had gathered. They only wanted what most everybody else wanted, some work to make a decent paycheck so they could provide for their loved ones, their families. So the farm owner, he hired some of them, promising to pay a full day's pay for a full day's work. Well, around mid-morning, this farm owner sees that he's going to need more help. So he goes back into town, hires some more workers, does the same thing around noon, Jesus says. Mid-afternoon, he's back in town again, hiring some more workers. In fact, around 5 p.m., when many folks are starting to close things down for the day, he returns to town and finds some who are still looking for work. So they get in the pickup, and off to the farm they go. After about another hour or two, the owner instructs his foreman to gather all the workers and give them their wages. So the last hired are called forward first. Surprisingly, they're given a full day's pay, which at first excites those who've been working since sunrise, because they start doing the calculations in their head and think, well, if he's paying them that, that must mean we're getting a multiple of what they're giving in light of the hours that we've worked. But no, those who've worked the longest and hardest get paychecks that are identical to those who were hired last, maybe worked only an hour or two. Now, where's the fairness in that? Where's the just compensation in that kind of system? A farm owner, he doesn't happen to be named Dan Price, does he? Doesn't matter whether you're processing credit cards or harvesting crops. This looks like no way to run a business. This just isn't right. Somebody ought to contact one of the local news outlets. This sounds like the kind of story that would get important coverage on 7 on Your Side, something like that maybe. As one reporter noted about Dan Price's $70,000 minimum wage, early adopters and latecomers may be equally welcomed in the kingdom of heaven, but not necessarily in the earthly realm, where rewards are generally bestowed in paycheck form. Now remember, that's what this parable is about. It's about the kingdom of heaven. In other parts of the scriptures, it's referred to as the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven is Matthew's most customary term for it. He's not speaking primarily about a place that believers go when they die, though that's an important part of the good news of Jesus Christ, and those who receive it and believe in it is assurance of life beyond death. But primarily, here in Matthew's gospel, the other gospels, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, is primarily about God's sovereign action in history and in the world, accomplishing his will and his saving purposes. In and through Jesus, God's kingdom has come, broken into the world, and you and I are called to repent, believe this good news, turn and align our lives with this reality that's now in place because Jesus has come. The kingdom of God, God's reign, the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus' parable about the farm owner and the workers reveals that this kingdom of heaven, it's a realm in which God's grace, God's generosity, it disrupts and overturns a lot of our convictions and our cherished ideas about what's right, what's fair, what's just. What kind of world is it where those who show up at the last minute get paid just as much as those who were hired at the beginning of the day? In what reality do workers get compensated based on the employer's eagerness to give, not based on what they've earned or deserve? Or what world, we might ask, is Jesus living in? What world is he preaching about and teaching about? What world is he calling us to enter into by this? Well, the kingdom of heaven, the reign of God. Now, when those who had been working since sunrise grumbled about the farm owner's treatment of the latecomers, he reminded them of their agreement, didn't he? It's my farm, my money. Don't I have the right to do what I want to do with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous? See, that really takes us to the heart of the parable, this question. It takes us to the heart of the matter, namely the goodness of God. The term translated in our scripture passage today as generosity also means good. A literal reading of the Greek text here in verse 15 goes like this: Is your eye evil because I'm good? God asks us. Really? So this is fundamentally a story about who God is, what God is like. It's a story about how the goodness of God, not what we think we deserve, the goodness of God sets the terms of our relationship with God and with one another. In 2019, during his commencement speech at Morehouse College, billionaire Robert Smith announced that he would be making a grant, and with this grant, pay off all the student loans of all 396 students. After a moment of astonished silence from parents and students there at the celebration, there were wild cheers. But it wasn't long till there was some resistance, some pushback. Michelle Singletary is a personal finance columnist for the Washington Post, and she wrote about how she was fielding some resentment that came from some parents. She said, "There's a common complaint I hear from some parents who have sacrificed, saved for their children to attend college debt-free. Was my labor in vain? Those not on the receiving end of this amazing gift might have thought to themselves, even for just a second, what about us? What do we get for doing the right thing? Saving for our kids to go to college debt-free." So she tried in her column to comfort them and reassure them about their sense of responsibility and sacrifice. But along with that, she noted, whether it's a surprise gift from a billionaire or need-based aid given to some other person's child, don't resent what others get. Don't resent what others get. That's true. But still, Jesus' parable contradicts so many of our assumptions and our convictions about how the world works, or at least how we think it ought to work. Maybe that's part of it too. Reward based on effort. Just compensation. Equal pay for equal work. If you want something, you've got to earn it. These are the rules that we live by. These are the rules that capture our sense of fairness and our aspirations about fairness and equality. And one thing is for sure, equality is always on the agenda in our culture. And in our society, our nation's political roots, our economic system are designed to create space for individuals and groups to focus on the equitable distribution of wealth and power and resources, at least in theory, right? But in practical terms, things often fall far short of that. We proclaim equality, but on the ground, at ground level, things can be very different. And that's one of the things we've discovered during this whole coronavirus pandemic experience. COVID-19 has laid bare and intensified lots of inequalities that have been here in our culture and in our society for a long time, but are now even more evident. Employment inequality, income inequality, educational inequality, health care inequality, and these inequities that often break along lines of race and ethnicity. So now I think as much as ever, we as followers of Jesus are reminded of our call to be vocal and active in the pursuit of equality and fairness and justice across lines of race and ethnicity in our society. But at the same time, I think it helps us to remember when we hear this parable from Jesus today that answering Christ's call into the kingdom of God and embodying and reflecting an even deeper kind of equality that we have with one another, a deeper kind of equality that comes from the goodness of God toward all of us. In that psalm we had as call to worship in our earlier scripture, the repeated emphasis on God is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. God provides for all he has created. God is good to all. And that's probably the most fundamental root of our equality, is God's goodness in Christ to all of us. And this goodness that gets disruptive, it's the goodness described in today's parable, where those who were hired first complain, don't they? These men who were hired last worked only an hour. An hour. And you have made them equal to us who've been here under the heat of the sun all day. So their equality with one another, equal pay and fair pay is important, but in this story, their equality with one another isn't just a matter of receiving the same pay, is it? It's most of all a fact, out of the fact, that they've been hired by the same owner, all of them, who pictures to us a God who calls and who welcomes indiscriminately, not playing favorites or picking or choosing, but issuing this invitation to all. In other words, coming into and participating in the kingdom of God and the work of God and the kingdom of heaven is possible. And why is it possible? It's possible because of God's goodness, not your own or my own or what we think we deserve from God. It's about God's goodness and generosity. On Roman shrines, places of devotion and worship in that day and time, words were often inscribed that went this way: I give in order that you may give. And with those words, the donor made clear that he or she was trying to use their generosity to inspire some generosity back from the God they were worshiping and devoted to. Isn't that a great contrast to the farm owner in our parable today, who says that he has the right to pay his workers not on the basis of their own merits, but on the basis of his generosity, his goodness. Entering the kingdom of God isn't about bargaining with God, is it? Entering the kingdom of God isn't about a contract you make with God. Entering the kingdom of God is about God's compassion, we're told, and mercy towards sinners to be received in faith. It's about his compassion. I want to share with you a story from Robert D'Amore, who talks about how when he was a child, his family in Ontario, Canada, during apple harvesting season, would gather together. Mom would get together, the six children and dad, with pans and paring knives, he said, until this mountain full of fruit was reduced to rows and rows of jars filled with apples to be canned. And he says, Mom never bothered keeping track of how many we did, though the younger ones undoubtedly proved more of a nuisance than a help. Cut fingers, squabbles over who got which pan, apple core fights. But when the job was done, the reward for everyone was the same. The largest chocolate dipped cone that you could buy. Everybody got it. No matter how much you had actually worked or accomplished across the age of the children. Now he says, a stickler might argue it wasn't quite fair, was it? That the older ones actually peeled more apples, but I can't remember anyone complaining about it. A family operates and understands under a different set of norms than a courtroom. In fact, when the store ran out of ice cream and my younger brother had to make do with a popsicle, we felt sorry for him despite his lack of productivity. He had eaten all the apples he peeled that day, both of them, but he still got rewarded too. God wants all his children to enjoy the complete fullness of eternal life. No true child of God wants it any other way. You see, in the life of God's family, the church, God's goodness, not anything else, God's goodness is what makes us equal in the fellowship of believers. Salvation, life in the kingdom, aren't a reward for your diligent effort and energy. They're, as our parable reminds us, the gift of God, out of God's generosity, to be received in faith, trust in Jesus. And that means lots of things. It means that a new believer who's just learning their way around the church is just as valued as the person who served on virtually every committee in the congregation. It means that someone who experiences a deathbed conversion is on equal footing Amen. With someone who has known the Lord for decades. That's part of what it means that the faithful, low-profile worker in the church nursery is just as important as the pastor who stands in the pulpit. These are part of what it means to be in a family that's formed by the goodness of God, and not what we deserve or think we've earned or merit. It comes down to the fact that we're a community of equals in a kingdom of grace, called together into a common work by a generous God. Let's pray. Good and generous God, thank you for your compassion and mercy that reaches out to all, and how your word has the power to call forth faith so that we come to you not based on what we think we deserve, but on what you're eager to give: kingdom life, salvation, eternal hope. We thank you for your word through Jesus that disrupts and challenges all the settled assumptions that we often get into in our lives. Help us here in our own country to continue the pursuit of equality and fairness and justice, but help us also here in the life of your church to model and reflect an even more fundamental equality, rooted in the fact that you're good to all of us. Help us now as we reflect on your word and respond to receive your goodness and your grace and offer our lives to you because of what you've already done for us through Jesus Christ. We pray now in his name. Amen.